message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. I want to ask you to continue to pray for me as I pray for you. Pray that God will keep me healthy. God will do whatever He needs to do in my life as I pray for you, because I pray for you every day. And I thank you so much for those of you who mention me before God every day. I do not take it for granted. I appreciate it. Praise the Lord. I also have a very ambitious message today. I pray God helps me to preach it. Father, let your word go out freely. Let your will be done. Please speak to the people and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. So I will start today from where I started the first Sunday, from the Sermon on the Mount. Today I'm going to read portions of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to read all, because today's topic is the portrait of a follower of Jesus Christ. What is the picture of a person who follows Jesus? What do they look like? What is the picture? That's what I'm trying to achieve today. So let's start with Matthew chapter 5. And as we read, I want you to know that as we're reading all these scriptures, that is what the believer is supposed to look like. Matthew chapter 5 verse 1. And seeing the multitude, please open your Bible, look into your Bible. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Now, I want you to look at the theme of persecution. I just noticed that as I was reading overnight to come here, that there was persecution. So it's a part of the disciples, the follower of Jesus Christ's life. Verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth." I'm talking about the portrait, the picture of the believer. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." So that's the portrait of a believer. He does good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. Verse 43. Verse 42. "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you. Will himself reward you. Hallelujah. Will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sour countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in heaven, who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Isn't it wonderful to read this again after the prayer and fasting? Because now it has been explained to us. Therefore, I say to you, verse 25, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his feet? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See the issue of faith again. O you of little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophet. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way, difficult is the Christian way, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one with authority, having authority, not as a scribe. Praise the Lord. I love the reading of the Word of God. I love to read the Word of God. So what is the portrait of the Christian? What is the picture of a Christian? I have 10 points, and I will list them first so that if my time runs out, at least you have them. Number one, the first mark of the follower of Jesus is that he or she is born again. Is that she or he is born again. Number two, the follower of Jesus believes the Bible and lives by its tenets. The follower of Jesus believes the Bible and lives by its tenets. Number three, the follower of Jesus prays like Jesus prayed. Number four, the follower of Jesus knows the voice of God. Knows the voice of God. Number five, the follower of Jesus has absolute faith in God. Absolute faith in God. If this is the only thing I'm able to communicate to you this year, in this January and February, is faith in God, I will be happy. If we can have faith in God, the Bible says we can please God. Number six, followers of Jesus love him and love his Father. They love Jesus and they love his Father. Number seven, followers of Jesus obey him. They obey him. Number eight, followers of Jesus tell others about him. They tell others about him. Number nine, followers of Jesus serve him. Number 10, followers of Jesus are ready to suffer for him. Hallelujah. So if I don't finish, at least you know all the points and you can go on the internet. You will find 50 or 500 million preachers on every topic. Number one, followers of Jesus Christ, the portrait of the a follower of Jesus Christ is that that person must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus Christ said, answered and said to him, most assuredly I said to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the follower of Jesus has accepted Jesus Christ, has accepted the atoning work of Jesus on the cross, confessed and turned away from their sin. They have confessed and turned away from their sins. They are not doing what they confessed. They have not gone back to their vomit. They are not watching homosexuality on the naked men having sex with naked men on the internet. They are not watching pornography. They are not sneaking and drinking and smoking. They are not womanizing. They are not doing evil because they turned away. They used to live like that, but now they no longer live. So they have turned away from their sins, accepted God's forgiveness, and have completely surrendered their lives to God. They have surrendered their lives to God and embarked on a journey of discipleship. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, the follower of Jesus Christ has turned away from his former life and is now facing a new life and has embarked on a journey of discipleship. The purpose of the discipleship is to learn to be like Jesus, his master, which is a great privilege. If you remember when the second week I told you about the disciples, why they were able to leave and follow Jesus immediately. And then I told you about the Talmidim, the disciple in the Jewish culture, how they would want to be tutored by a rabbi. Do you remember that story? So for all of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ or who choose to follow Jesus Christ, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to enter a discipleship program, or a discipleship life, in order to be like Jesus. So by deciding to be a disciple, you agree that after your conversion, you will obey him completely. You will obey him completely and you will imitate his example. You will obey him completely and you will obey his teachings. You will obey his teachings and then you will imitate his example. You will strive to live like he lived, to think like he thought, to act like he acted, to do like he would do, and be moved by what moved him. If you decide to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you make pleasing God your number one desire, your number one passion. Pleasing God will be what is on your mind day and night. Before you do anything, before you go anywhere, before you buy anything, you ask, will this give joy to my Father? That's a follower of Jesus Christ. So the follower of Jesus Christ copies the lifestyle of Jesus. He makes Jesus his pattern and his example. Those of you who are tailors, you know patterns, isn't it? A pattern, you just cut the thing and paste and then cut the cloth according to it and sew and it fits. So Jesus is our pattern. He's the one we are supposed to place our lives under to copy and be like him. Amen? Are you hearing me or you are bored? This is life. This is the real gospel. Number two, a follower of Jesus Christ believes the Bible and lives by its tenets. He believes the Bible is the word of God, not a contraption or a collection of history. He does not. This generation wants to tell you context and all of the history, custom and all, and begin to water what the Bible is. See, if you make the Bible any other book, then it loses its power. We must collect the Bible and receive the Bible as a book of faith, as the word of God. It's infallible. It is inerrant. It has no errors. It tells everything. So a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, does not argue as to whether the Bible is the word of God or not. He believes it and he believes it's the word of God and relies on it for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness and guidance in all issues of life. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Please go home and read these scriptures and meditate on them and God will bless you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the follower of Jesus Christ believes that the Bible is the word of God. That means, those of you who are married, when we come to your houses and open the Bible, you surrender. When you are fighting, we say this is what the Bible says. Don't argue it. When the Bible says anything, just follow it. In it is life. In it is life. In it is peace. In it is joy. The Bible has everything you need. And so when they open the Bible, surrender. Don't fight the Bible. Don't argue it. Don't argue it. It is not a book to be reasoned. It's a book to be believed in. It's a faith book. And if you believe it and walk in it by faith, it will solve all your problems. I'm telling you, it will solve all your problems. It will answer all your questions. It will calm all your fears down. It will lead and guide and direct you. Never, never trivialize the word of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So the Bible, the follower uses the word of God to wage every warfare against the devil, against all his agents, and against all his works. That was what Jesus used to wage war against the devil, isn't it? It was the word of God. You also use it to wage war against Satan, against his angels, against his works, against all his principalities and powers. You use the word of God. Use the word of God over every situation of your life. Hallelujah. That the Bible says it is not a futile thing. It is your life. By this word, you will get an inheritance. By this word, you will inherit what God has for you. So the Bible is not an ordinary book. It is the word of, it is your life. It is your life. It is your life. So we use it to wage our warfare. And the follower of Jesus Christ makes the Bible his manual for living. If the Bible says it, he does it. If the Bible disallows it, he does not allow it. Whatever the Bible allows, you allow. Whatever the Bible does not allow, you disallow. The follower of Jesus Christ reads the Bible. He reads a version he understands. If the version you understand is Living Bible, don't hold on to King James that confuses you. Somehow, God has given people wisdom to break this Bible down into... Now, some preachers fight against it. I don't. All translations, a lot, many of them are inspired by God. Now, there are some that are trying to twist the Bible and remove some things in it, but there are some standard ones. However, between two or three versions, you will understand. Read the one you understand. Is that okay? So you understand it, you meditate on it, thank you, and you obey it. You live by it. Number three, the follower of Jesus Christ prays like Jesus prayed. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. He prays like Jesus prays. Please put up that scriptures. I need you to put the scriptures on me so that I just read them quickly. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And what did he do? When did he pray? Early in the morning. Now, they say whenever you wake up, it's your morning. So if you wake up at 2 o'clock, that's your morning. Do your devotions. If you wake up at 5 a.m., do your devotion. There is no rule that you must wake up at 3 a.m. Because somebody like me cannot wake up at 3 a.m. I will not. It's a lie. It is when I wake up, I do my devotion. If I wake up at 7, it's devotion. If I wake up at 1, and there are some times I sleep at 6 a.m. and wake up at 1. That is my morning is 1. Bottom line, make sure you pray to God, you have your time with God before you enter the city, or else the city will defeat you. But when you pray and arm yourself before you do anything, then you are ready to face the day. Amen? Never move out without praying. Because of your own self, you can do nothing. You cannot do anything. You know this, one of the things that they said during the week, during the preaching this week, that we are the can-do generation. But it's a lie. We cannot do anything. Thank God that scripture says we can only do all things through Christ. So you do it through Christ who strengthens you. So if you do not acknowledge Christ, there will be no strength for that thing to be done. So let us be the generation that depends on God. If Jesus Christ depended on God, who be you? Who be you? Oginika are you? You think I've forgotten my Igbos? It's old age that is catching up on me. So early in the morning, Jesus waited on the Lord. Can I tell you something? Try not to carry that telephone first thing in the morning. It will take you into a jungle. Before you know it, 30 minutes have passed, 1 hour has passed. So what I do with my social media telephone is I switch it off. I on it later in the day. Because sometimes you just want to check one thing. By the time you see yourself, you have checked 1 million things. And especially if you are a business people, money can kill you, eh? Hell, don't enter money trap. Calculation. You want to just see this figure quickly before you know it. You have entered well. So it's good to not even start with Jesus. Amen? So they pray like Jesus. They begin the day with Jesus. He does not take, the follower of Jesus Christ does not take anything for granted. Doesn't take God for granted, and so prays about everything. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. How many of you want God to direct your paths? If God directs your path, you will have 100% success. But the way is to bring Him into the matter first. Amen? He prays to tell God everything and listen to get instructions and answers from God. He prays always, but also sets aside special times during the day. Remember that people like Daniel used to pray 3 times a day? So you have to set the time to pray. Say, maybe I'll pray at 5 a.m. Those of you who pray 5 a.m., maybe set 11 a.m. or 1 p.m., and then at night. So you have definite times. If you program it, you will pray. And that is why the Muslims have their time. Now, that theirs is law. Ours is grace. We pray all the time, but we have set times that we pray. And His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Number 4, the follower of Jesus knows the voice of God. They know the voice of God. John chapter 10, verse 3. The gospel according to John chapter 3. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. A follower of Jesus Christ must know the voice of Jesus. You know these shepherds, all their cows have names. If it is goats, they have names. If it is sheep, and when they call the name, the thing will come. So they know the voice of God. As a Christian, you need to know when God is speaking. Know when you as a human being is speaking. That is when you are reasoning with yourself. When you don't know if the thing is right or wrong, your mind is telling you to go. So you need to identify, is it God or me? And you know, when the flesh is speaking, let me tell you, when the flesh is speaking, every time the flesh speaks, it's telling you to do the wrong thing. You as a human being can reason. You can reason some innocent things. But the flesh comes hoha. Sex, pornography, this, that. The flesh is demand. Anything that feeds you at the expense of something else or at the expense of God is sin. I'm teaching you to understand the voice of God, okay? Anything that cheats somebody, anything that hurts somebody, anything that takes advantage of anybody is sin and flesh. It's not God. The voice of God is the voice of Scripture. You will hear the thing from the Bible and it will be good. It will be to enhance. It will help the kingdom of God. It will help somebody. But anything that hurts anybody is not God. And then, of course, you know the voice of the devil. Has God said? Has God said? Are you sure this is what the Bible is saying? Everybody is doing it. Everybody is doing it. There's no civil servant that is not doing it. It's a lie. There are a few civil servants. See, anytime you say everybody is doing it, always remember the Bible that said there are 7,000 prophets that have not bowed their knees to the devil. So no matter what, no matter how haywire the world is, there is, even in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his wife did not sin. That's why God removed them. The Bible says Lot was always there. If they were abusing this one, he wants to show us his righteous, always preaching at us. So no matter what, God always has a people. And I don't know what your decision is, but I want to be one of those God will always find. May you always be the one that stands out, that does not do what the others do, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay, number 5. He learns to hear the voice of God through different means. I'm finishing number 4. Through his devotions, through the Bible study, through preaching of the word, through listening, reading and listening to other materials. He can hear the voice of God through nature, through events, through circumstances, and through other people. Even from this accident yesterday with this man dying, didn't God preach to you? That preached. So circumstances, when people die, it should preach to you. When people succeed, it should preach. Everything that happens around you can be a message. Everything that people do around you can be a message. Learn to hear God and see God in things. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Number 5, a follower of Jesus Christ has absolute faith in God. He believes in, trusts in, and completely trusts in God completely. He believes in and trusts in God completely, just like Jesus did. Mark chapter 11, Jesus Christ said, Mark 11, please read. So Jesus answered and said to them, everybody, what did he say? Who should you have faith in? Should you have faith in your pastor? In a man of God? In a prayer, something every time? Where should your faith be in? Where should your faith be in? So if your faith is in God, you can never be disappointed. But if your faith is in Pastor Sarah, where you? I am so human, you don't even want to know it. So let your faith not be in anybody. You can love people, but don't trust anybody like that. So the person who follows Jesus, his trust is in God. Because he knows the goodness of God. He has experienced the faithfulness of God and knows that God will not fail him. That is why when we go to pray for people, we should believe that God is faithful, that he will not fail us. And let us pray in that confidence. Because if we are going to learn anything this year, let it be the faith of Jesus. How Jesus could lay hands on anybody and the thing disappeared, or how things could happen. It was because he had absolute trust in God. And may that be your portion in the name of Jesus. Having faith in God is so key, because God wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust him. God wants us to try him and see if he would not come through for us. He said, bring in your tithes and offerings, your tithes, and try me. Try me in faith. Go to the hospital and try me. If I talk to that person about Jesus Christ and tell them they will be healed, and try me. Go to that person. Do whatever in my name. Try me and see. That is how God wants us to live. That if we trust him and depend on him, he will stand for us. So if we trust in God's faithfulness, if we believe that God has been good to us and is faithful, then we will reach out in faith. Please, Let me tell you, all these things I've been saying since January, this is the most challenging message to me, that faith one. I want to have faith like Jesus had faith. I want to believe God like Jesus believed God. And I want to see the results Jesus saw. And it's possible only if we trust God completely. Number six, followers of Jesus love him and love his Father. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Quickly, please. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. I actually read this because it's just one verse, verse instead of chapter 22, verse 37, which we always read. So they love him with their being, with their spirit, with their soul and body, and with their personality. Can I tell you something about loving God with your personality? Some of you are very quiet. Some of you are very peaceful. You don't like trouble. And some are noisy, like me. God created us all for a reason. And God wants to use us to reach people by our temperaments. There are certain people that will not listen to me. Oh, that woman to talk. I didn't create myself. Now, some of you wake up, see the talking, they come up from my mouth. And then there is another one that if they don't hear from me, they will not be saved. Say, I like it. Some people stayed in church. They came here for the first time. They saw me say, this is my church. And then there are some that stayed because of Pastor Ekide. True. Whose laughter is... He can never open his mouth and say, no. But see, God put our personalities in us so that he can use it to reach people. All of our personalities are useful. None is better than the other. All of us were created to give God pleasure. And we are supposed to use that personality to give him pleasure, to bring people to him. So we love God with our personality. It can be in that quietness, Pastor Ikide can be so in tune with God in his quietness. And then me in my dancing, I have to come here and when will that day come when Ikide will come here and dance? It will never happen. And yet I have to be there. I cannot be there. I have to come here or else I can be easily distracted. God wants us to love him the way we are. You don't have to be like me or be like Ikide. Just be yourself, but be your best self under God. Leave him now. Give him a break. Give him a break. You see, him and his wife, they are big givers. They are dangerous givers. Okay. Where was I? They love God. What took me back? So they love him with their personality, their strength, their time, their resources, their talent, education, position, and everything God has given you. Everything you have been through, everything you are, is to be used for God. Is to be used to love God. Jesus lived a life of radical love towards God and man. His love towards God was selfless. I said that before. He gave up his will, opinions, choice, decisions, just to love God. And his only passion and desire was to please God and give God pleasure. So is the follower of Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, in loving him with your mind, which is the seat of your will and emotion and intellect, you will be careful with what you put in your mind, what you read. Watching pornography is a dangerous, demonic, whatever. It will not help you. It's destroying you. Some of you in your telephones, you have pornography, especially men. You use it to masturbate and all. You are living in Satan's territory. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. So some of you need to delete your telephones, delete your computers. Some of you watch males, homosexuality and all of that. And if you are a homosexual here, be delivered. God did not create you like that. Neither did God create you a lesbian. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful. I put my children one time, when they were on holiday, I told them in the next 1 week, don't listen to any worldly music. Just listen to Christian music, especially young people. And the next day they came. When we came next week, they were all so happy. Something changed in their minds. And you know what? That's what we're supposed to feed ourselves with godly music, not demonic music. Mm-mm. So be careful what you put in your mind. As a lover of God, you must. Oh, no, my time is up. Okay, let me just read my notes. Followers of Jesus obey him. Obedience is key in following Jesus. You cannot follow Jesus and disobey him. Jesus obeyed God completely. Now, we like to talk about God is good, and God, we talk about how God is, good God is, and how he wants us to be happy. But God also wants to be happy, and he wants you also to make him happy. So it's a two-way traffic. It's not God making you happy. Are you making God happy? Must your happiness be at the expense of God, at disobeying him? So when you obey him, you give him pleasure. When you disobey him, you make him sad. So you cannot be happy in disobedience. You can never be happy in disobedience. Just put 5 minutes there. Let me finish. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. That is why I told you this was very ambitious. Followers of Jesus Christ spread the word of God to everyone, where they, everyone they meet. They are not ashamed of him. They share him joyfully, knowing what good he has done in their lives. They take advantage of every opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, that he came to set the people free. Followers of Jesus are sensitive to those around them who don't know him, and they do all they can to bring them to Jesus. Number 9, if anyone, they serve Jesus. John chapter 12 verse 26 says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And when God honors you, you know it's a big deal, isn't it? So Jesus served God and served men. He went about doing good, serving hundreds and thousands of people. He even washed the disciples' feet. We all have the capacity to serve God in some fashion. We serve him by serving people like orphans, prisoners, widows, and on. We serve him by giving ourselves our time, talent, materials. We shun selfishness and self-centeredness. Followers of Jesus look around them to see if people around them are hurting, in need, lost, lonely, harassed. They reach out and minister to them. We serve at home, in our communities. We serve at work, in our businesses, at church, wherever there is a need. We share the gospel and make a difference in people's lives. Jesus lived a life of service, and so must we. Number 10, followers of Jesus are ready to suffer. If you follow Jesus, you will definitely suffer. John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have tribulations. Jesus said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So you face some rejection in your place of work or even in your family sometimes. A lot of people do suffer discrimination in some families because they accepted Jesus Christ. Discriminated against, financial problems, job-wise, persecution, as we are going in the middle belt of Nigeria, is going through persecution. The Church of Jesus Christ is going through persecution in this nation because the Muslims have decided that Christians will not rule in this country. That is persecution. I need you to know that. And so we must pray and be dogged in our commitment to Jesus Christ. So we suffer for him by being who he wants us to be, doing what he wants us to be, and being where he wants us to be. Whether people like us or not, accept us or not, we keep on being and doing what he wants. We share the gospel whether they accept it or not, or persecute us or not. There is a price to pay to follow Jesus. We keep our bodies under subjection. That is also suffering. We shun all lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. We walk on the King's highway. The narrow path, two people cannot walk side by side. This Christian journey is a personal journey. It's between you and God, and you will stand before God alone. Followers of Jesus, therefore, they know who they are. They know what they have in Christ. They know their rights and privileges, but they also know their responsibilities, and they carry them through. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Pastor Wilson, come and help me. At least you have the 10 points, isn't it? Those of you who write. Now, always bring a book to church and write something. Scribble something. It will help you during the week. During your devotion, those of you who don't know how to read the Bible, you just follow the notes and pray over it. That also will be devotions. Amen? I pray that all of us will be like Jesus. I pray that we will follow him. And I pray that we will show a picture of him, of light and salt, a picture of who the followers of Jesus should be. That when they want to see a follower of Jesus, they should look at you. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.